This is the March 29th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves 60 cases. It starts with case number 507 for property ID 12301200002 and goes to case number 566 with property ID 12301200. I believe a case number may have been skipped, but it does look like the parcel numbers are contiguous, so all of those should be that complete set of 60.
Actually, it's 567 because that 032 was 566.
Yeah, so one of the case numbers is out of place. It's case number 532.
Case number 567?
567.
560, it's the very last one.
Oh, I see. So it's case number 567, but it is property ID 12301002032. And so that does fit in with the contiguous lineup.
Yes.
And that gives us a 60.
Yes. And all the properties are owned by Lookout Ridge Townhomes SPE LLC. The board members present for this hearing by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Gregory LeBlanc, Greg LeBlanc, present over video chat for the appellant. And so at this time, we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand and get you sworn in for all 60.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st. 2021. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeals.
Okay. Can I share my screen? That's okay.
Yeah, if it doesn't let you do it, let me know. Okay, there we go.
Okay. So you should be seeing, you're seeing that my screen now, correct?
Yeah.
So the cumulative value of these townhomes is, as assessed, is just over $18 million. We're seeking a value reduction down to a cumulative value of $15.9 million. Last year, and just to back up, and we're appealing these because these are 60 townhomes. They're generally three- and four-bedroom townhomes, two-, three- and four-bedroom townhomes. They were built in 2008. They're located in Washougal. And since they were built, they've always been used as rental units. So they've been under the ownership of Lookout Ridge for quite some time and used as rentals. The assessor is just valuing them as a straight fee simple unit, and they're applying that to each unit. But when you're under rental structure, it's going to be more difficult to get those ready and to sell and to compare those to other single unit townhome sales. These are essentially, these would be kind of a bulk sale type situation, or you would sell them off individually, but you would have you would have to do it over a period of time, so there would be holding costs that you would have to subtract. So some background, here's where the townhomes are located in Washougal. Here's a site aerial. The townhomes are right here. There's also some Lookout Ridge apartments that under the same ownership or related ownership, but not subject to this appeal, but they do manage these townhomes here as part of the development that they own. Here's a typical fourplex building. You can see they have a garage, single car garage, and three-story construction. And here's our analysis, our income approach. So you can see the unit mix here. We've got two, three, and four-bedroom townhomes. They're mostly, most of them are two bedrooms, and or about half two bedrooms and half four bedrooms. They're ranging between 1,700 and almost 1,900 square feet each. And here are the rents that they were getting as of 1/1/21, averaging about $1,786. Here's their asking rents, and here's where we projected the rents are. So we are at $1,923, which is significantly above their actual asking rent. We have the expense reimbursements, miscellaneous income. We have the 5% vacancy and credit loss. And then we have our projected expenses here, which are do not include real estate taxes. So those expenses are averaging about 30% of effective gross income. This number here before the real estate taxes. We've made the deductions for insurance, repair, maintenance. There's not much, there is, they do not pay their utilities directly, so they are, I'm talking to the tenants, so they're covering their utilities here. Then we've got $300 for reserves, management at 4%. And that gives us an NOI before taxes of $983,104. We're using a 5% cap rate. Then we're loading that with the 2021 levy rate of 11.8058. So that's 1.18. That gives us our loaded cap rate of 6.18 and our value of $15.9 million. Or $265,000 per unit. Excuse me. If we look at the income and expenses, we've got 4 years of actuals. And you can see the projections. The income has been a little up and down here. Again, we're not including taxes. You can see the revenue is also been a little up and down. It was higher in 2018 than it was in 2020. They were able to hold on during the pandemic. But here we are, our projected revenue is higher than anything they've achieved in the last 4 years. If we look at the expenses, generally running between 30% and 36% of effective gross income. We projected that at 31.6%. So we have an NOI of $983,104. Again, higher than anything that they've achieved in the last 4 years. So if you take that $983,104 and cap it at the 5%, with plus the load, you get that $15.9 million or $265,000. Obviously, we think that the greatest weight should be placed on the income approach because this is an income-producing property, and it's been run as such since its inception. So any potential buyer looking at this would most likely be someone that is looking to continue to run it as an income producing property. However, we also looked at sales. And we've looked at sales of other condominium, townhome communities in Clark County. And we've got 7 sales that we looked at. The average cap rate was 5.3%, and the average sale price was $263,436. So we're lower on our cap rate. We're using a 5% cap rate, and our concluded value is just above the average. These sales are located here. We've got some older sales, older built construction. Sale one was built in 1995. So we'd expect, yes, that would set the low end at only $205 per unit. Here we've got some also built in 1995, 52 units. So similar in size to the subject. That's down at $220,000 per unit. And then we've got all these, the rest of them, which are newer townhome developments, that, numbering between 12 units and 34 units in size. And those were selling, it's like between $276,000 per unit up to a high of $300,000 per unit. And we see the cap rates over here ranging from, we got a 4% cap rate, and we got a 5.3, 5.4, 5.7. As far as why this one is so low, I can only conclude that that's based on actual income and expenses, and perhaps not all those units were leased at market rents. So that drives down your NOI, and so with a low NOI, you get a low cap rate indication. Here's some additional information as to, what these sales are and what they look at. This was the low one at 4%. Again, this is a real superior type construction type. These are larger units that were only 2-story in construction, nice garages, so a little different than the subject. So again with newer units, there's less that you would need to do. They have newer appliance packages, lighting packages, newer cabinetry counters. They might have newer floorings. The subject units are, very good in condition. They've been upkept because they are managed by a professional management company. However, just because of the sheer older age, there would be more, potential, renovation aspects or, if you're going to compare them to a newer sale, like some of these other sales. And I've included, as exhibits, we've got some additional information on the sales, including, what we've gleaned off of CoStar, and if the broker has provided a flyer, we've included that. We've included the subject's historical P&L statements over the last 4 years from 2017 to 2020, as well as a copy of the rent roll as of 1/1/21. So that is our supporting data. With that, does anybody at the board have any questions?
I do.
Sure.
Have you looked at the county's comps the information they provided? Have you seen that?
Yes.
I wonder what your comments about all their comps are in Washougal, all relatively the same age, the same structure, a little bit of a range on square footage, but not too much. I just wondered how you felt those compared to the ones you gave that were mostly in Vancouver.
Apologize for, and I thought I had
looked at these before. Sorry, I was just getting, I just got back from vacation last night at midnight, and flying in from the East Coast. So, but I can tell you that in looking at, I'll take the screen share off, that again, they're using just fee simple townhomes. This is, you know, something that had been under a fee simple ownership, which I guess technically that's what we are. However, it'd been an individual owner selling it to an individual buyer. It's just one single unit. It's much different. If you're buying 60 units all at the same time, that's a bulk purchase. If, you know, it's the same thing. It's, you know, why do you go to Costco? Because you buy in bulk and you get a discount. And that's the what's going on here is that if you were looking at, buying these in bulk and reselling them at a retail price, you would expect to make some money on that transaction. Essentially, what the assessor has provided is that retail price for one unit, but you're not considering the offsetting holding costs.
On the income approach, the assessed value is $18 million, and you're coming up with $15.9 million. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. It's from a market sales approach. What is your total on that?
Well, the market sale, I didn't necessarily provide a market sales comparison approach that where I, you know, put these sales all on a grid.
Right.
I've got seven sales that I provided, and they show a range between $205,000 per unit and $300,000 per unit, and we're concluding at $265,000 per unit. So the sales that were at the higher end, above $265,000 per unit, are newer developments. We've got one built in 2013. One built in 2016, one built in 2018, and one built in 2019.
Okay.
And there's age, there's also location. These are all, of course, there's one in Richfield, and the rest are all in Vancouver. We are in Washougal,
right.
Which could be arguably inferior to some of these locations in Vancouver.
So do you think that a bulk purchase in Washougal could be as worth as $50,000 to $75,000 per unit less?
Well,
more in some cases.
You know, considering it, you know, not just on location, if, you know, I think location, you might be 5 or 10%. Adjustment there, and then of course you have age, condition, and you know, being a big factor as well.
Mm-hmm. So, do most of these things still apply in terms of the left right vinyl tile, the granite counters, tile counters, stainless steel appliances, central air? They've all been kept up to that level, correct? Mm-hmm.
I do believe, that they have. I don't, you know, I think they've generally, I don't know if we have air conditioning in these units. I can't say off the top of my head. I don't know if I see any condensers, and yeah, it's hard to tell if there's any condensers I see there. There's certainly no PTACs that I see coming through the wall.
I just get an idea. You said they've been well maintained. I was
Yeah, they're well, I guess there's a difference in, you know, they've been maintained for renters. If you have a condominium that's a single buyer, that you have a range of conditions that could be there. You could have somebody that hasn't updated the interior of their condo for forever, or you could have somebody that's just completely renovated it entirely. So it's hard to tell based on the assessor sales what that is.
Then all three went in.
Dick, did you mute yourself if you're going to be talking?
Yeah, okay. Okay, no, I just, go ahead.
And, you know, I'd also like to point out, so last year at BOE, the Clark County Board, this property had an assessed value of $17.5 $6 million cumulatively, and we got a reduction. We argued for a reduction down to $14.6 million, I believe. So, our requested value is now at $15.9 million. So that is almost a 9% increase over where the board ruled last year, so in a year's period. And, you know, kind of the issue that we're facing here is that where we sit here today is a vastly different market than it was in 1/1/21, right when we were, you know, kind of in the midst of this pandemic. You know, we were kind of like 2020 was everybody's feet was in quicksand. And there was not much movement in the market because really nobody knew what was happening or when the market was going to pick up and return back to normal. And so that brought us to 1/1/21. And then as we emerged through last year, then it became apparent that, you know, there's still demand for housing and things started to ratchet back. And then, of course, your housing prices really started to take off, and now we're, you know, in the throes of this inflation. But again, in 1/1/21, we really didn't have any of that stuff. So, you know, the exercise here is to look at this as it would sit as of 1/1/21, and try to figure out the value.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm fine with that. I don't have any questions.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions.
Do you know, right offhand, on your schedule, you have them listed as two-bedroom, three-bath, three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath, four-bedroom, three-bath. Those square footages include the basement. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think that... I mean, are you saying they include the garage?
No, not the garage, but the basement. These all have basements in them.
The finished room in the basement.
A finished basement, according to the specifications in the... In our system, they have a finished basement of, I don't know, 400 or 500 square foot in the basement, in addition to the garage in that lower level. And they're all listed as finished basement.
Yes. Yes, that would be correct.
Okay. Do you know what the total living square footage of the whole complex is? Do you have that off the top of your head?
Well, if we have an average size of 1,802 square feet per unit, we got 60 of them. That's approximately 108,120 square feet.
Got it. Okay. That's what I came up with. So.
Okay.
I just wanted to know that that's what you look at as living space, though. I mean, that's the number that you have there is considered living space.
Yes, if it's you know, climate controlled space measured out to that BOMA standard, then that's it. It does not include garages. It does not include balconies or patios or decks, but it includes living space. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
You know, that finished room on the basement might be, you know, not much more than kind of like a rumpus room, but it's still, you know, usable space. I would always enjoy to have more storage at my house.
Yeah, I know, we all would.
And how did you allocate when you came up with your adjusted value? How did you allocate it to the individual unit? Did you do it on a square footage basis or on the same basis as the assessor had it?
Yeah, I guess it's the same kind of proportionate basis that the assessor had it as. That's kind of how it our software works. Just kind of going off of how they've allocated the portion of overall value.
Got it. Okay.
But there's not a, looking at it, doesn't appear to be a huge variance in differences. Looks like there's one that's a little higher, the very first one that's assessed at $315,000, but the rest are kind of between $290,000 and $306,000, so not a big difference there.
Yeah,
it's probably, you know, the difference between end units and interior units, because they're all fourplex type construction.
As of 1/1/21, you were 100% rented.
I don't know that. I think we were pretty close. Well, looks like we had one vacant unit, 98.3%.
And did you
occupied.
Was everyone paying their rent?
If I look at the P&Ls, let's see, sometimes we can see, well, we don't have,
We don't show a huge drop in income or anything.
Yeah, we don't show a huge drop. So it looked like most people continued to pay their rent during the pandemic, which is just something to be thankful for. I guess these being larger units, these are going to be people that have families to support. And
right.
You know, they were probably in working situations that they were able to maintain their employment.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, I appreciate the time, and I apologize for the technical confusions logging in. I think I might have one or two more this week with you guys, and hopefully I'll try to minimize that login.
We all have those problems on a daily basis. Don't worry about it.
I'll get the meeting open about 15 minutes early on Thursday, and then go ahead and just do what you can to log in. I'll still leave you in the lobby until we're ready to start, but that way you can troubleshoot it if you need to.
Okay, great.
Just try to stay on the West Coast also. It might be easier for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's close the hearing. We'll see you in the next few days, I guess.